And now here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
By the way, they think that that information minister shot himself shortly after he left Baghdad. Good day, everybody. This is the Phil Hendry Show. And on our show today, we'll have the French and Syria, and boy, are they cozy. Just like two peas in a pod, man. That Chirac, he can't keep from rubbing up against those Arabs. He just loves them. And also, we have some information about Saddam the Prevert. Apparently, he made some gay porn in the late 60s, which, of course, is bullcrap. It's CIA propaganda, but it's the kind of CIA propaganda I love. Not that I like to watch the movie, but it's... Also, they're still trying to put forth the notion that this war was all about oil. People are doing twists and flips, every kind of gymnastic move, to prove that this war is about oil. They can't seem to do it, but they're still trying to shove that one through. We'll have a couple of little comments for you about that. We've got something we found. I don't know where Janice found this, at the bottom of a garbage can or something, that said, here's why it's about oil. And the guy that wrote it was... I don't know who it was, Captain Kangaroo, somebody. Who wrote that? Some guy. Rebuilding Iraq. Guess who's going to get stuck with that bill? You got it. You're looking at him. Just take a look in the mirror, and you're looking at the guy that's going to be rebuilding Iraq. Take a good long look in the mirror and say hello to the guy and the gal that'll be rebuilding Iraq. Because if there's one thing that the Arabs dig, it's all them Palestinians and the freedom of their people. But when it comes time to, cutting in on the check, they're up and in the bathroom. You know what I'm saying? They're going to go powder their nose. It's also getting a little bit tougher to kill people. You know, they found a body in the Bay Area in San Francisco that they think might be Lacey Peterson's. When I say they think, what I'm talking about is the media thinks, because the cops haven't said anything. But they also found the body of a fetus. And it's amazing, because the more of these murders that take place, and the more familiar we become with the so-called MO of murderers, The smarter, actually, Americans are getting at figuring, I think, at figuring out that these things aren't just random acts of violence from strangers, but in point of fact can be perpetrated by, loved ones. I think it started sometime back in Boston when that guy killed his wife and he said two big black guys did it. That big black guy thing, boy, that sure doesn't make it anymore, does it? Better think of another one. I did some digging, too, and does anybody remember this? This happened back around 99. A guy and his wife went to Hawaii on their honeymoon. The guy and his wife go out on a kayak. 2 days later, the guy, not the wife, just the guy, is found on that island, Kaule, the one where the Navy does the testing, stumbling around, and he tells a story that his wife got bit by a shark, bled to death, he couldn't hold on to her, her body drifted away, and that's where that's at, right? And the cops are just looking at him kind of the way that Mark's looking at me right now, just sort of, huh? You want to give me that one again? Well, maybe I shouldn't say this, but they've never prosecuted this guy come on. Anyway, I dug up some column from the Honolulu Bulletin or the Honolulu Blab. Also, rest in peace, finally, for Leon Klinghoffer. Anybody ever hear of Leon Klinghoffer? Do you know who he is? He was a guy. He was on a cruise. He was with his wife. He was 69 years of age. He had a couple of strokes. He was in a wheelchair. And he was with his wife. It was their 39th wedding anniversary. They're doing a cruise. Big deal. You know how the old folks like to go down on the cruises. So they're cruising around, having a ball. Next thing you know, four of these oily bastards from Palestine show up. And they're, guess what? They're hijacking the ship. Well, now ain't that a newsflash. What they do is, they take a lot of lip from this old guy Klinghoffer. He's 69, he's had two strokes. What do you got to lose, right? You're a Jew, and you've got some Palestinians with guns, and they're pointing them in your face. And you're 69, and you've had two strokes, you're in a wheelchair. Your days are numbered anyway, right? So what do you think he did? He started giving them crap, giving them lip. Now, as we all know, terrorists are good as long as you're not shooting back at them. We found this about bin Laden, and we found this about Hussein, and just about any organization you want to mention, especially in the Middle East, if you shoot back at them, they run. But if you're not armed, they're very brave and tough guys. So what they did was, this guy was giving them crap, well, what would you do? They shot him. They shot him in the chest and they shot him in the head. And then they took this old man's body, threw it overboard into the Mediterranean, and chucked his wheelchair in after him. Which I've been tempted to do with some people in my life, but not the guy like that. I mean, the image of, you know, some old guy. By the way, there's a scene in The Pianist, or The Pianist, you're not going to believe. It's one of the most brutal scenes I've ever seen in my life, in any film. And it has to do with a guy in a wheelchair. And I will end there. But anyway, this guy gets shot, his body gets dumped overboard by these four bastards. And they're part of an organization called the Palestinian Liberation Front, which is not to be confused with the Palestinian Liberation Organization, which is not to be confused with the Palestinian Authority, which is not to be confused with anybody that's got any brains. These guys are put aboard an Egyptian jet, our friends in Egypt, these guys that killed this man, threw his body in the drink, and they're going to go off to Tunisia. The Egyptians are going to help him go off to Tunisia, right? Because the Egyptians are good pals of ours, aren't they? Yeah, sure. Well, as they're flying out on this Egyptian jet, four U.S. Navy planes intercept it, and they say, no, you're not going to Tunisia, you're going to Italy, and we force it down in Sicily. They're taken into custody by the Italian authorities, and I know as soon as I say taken into custody by Italian authorities, many of you are giggling to yourselves, but come on, be nice. They're taken into custody. Wait a minute. Do I still have it? Is it? Yeah. They're taken into custody by the Italian authorities. And then they're put in jail, and guess what? They escape. Or they're paroled or some crap, but they get out. The mastermind is a guy named Abu Abbas. He's the head of the Palestinian Liberation Front. He masterminded the operation. He was the guy that said, go ahead and hijack this boat, etc., etc. Well, he's never caught. He is convicted in absentia by either an Italian or a U.S. court, I forget. And he's a fugitive from justice, which means the statute of limitations doesn't apply. And there's so many people that lay that one on you. Well, you know, the statute of limitations has expired. Yeah, that's great. All right, we'll be right back. Come on. Let's give it up for Gary Shandling. Well, no, it ain't. Because if you're a fugitive, it don't expire. So this guy's a fugitive from justice, and he pops up in 1996 in Palestine with some baloney like, boy, we're really sorry that we killed Mr. Klinghoffer. Whatever, right? The family issues a statement saying, you're a piece of garbage, and the sooner we see you hanging from a meat hook, the better. And so it goes. Well, now the years roll by. 9/11 happens. And all of a sudden, the United States, for the first time in the history of this country, gets serious about terrorism. For the very first time. Because if you look at the history of terrorism, you can see us doing all of the things that everybody said we should do. Go through the United Nations. Yada, 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 yada. 9/11 happens and the world changes. We start putting a little hurt on some people. Then we go into Iraq. Well, guess who we arrested yesterday in Baghdad? You got it. Our good pal there, Abu Abbas. Now, what would a terrorist be doing in Baghdad? Why would a terrorist, a wanted fugitive terrorist, why would he be in Baghdad? Why, I would think the Iraqi authorities would have arrested him had they known he was there. But I'm sure they didn't, did they? Yeah, there's no link between Hussein and terrorism, none at all. Now, why don't you go and get yourself another Twinkie and sit down and watch some more cartoons? He'd eluded arrest since the Kelly Laura was hijacked as it sailed from Egypt to Israel in October of 1985. And by the way, every time an American dies at the hands of terrorism, you know it's our fault. We did something to provoke it. Must be our fault. It's our government's fault. It's not our fault. Our government did it. Elderly American Leon Klinghoffer was shot in his wheelchair and tossed overboard. Well, this guy Abbas was arrested by American Marines yesterday. He was taken by American Special Operations Forces, actually, during a raid Monday night on the outskirts of the capital city. A number of his associates were also detained during raids at several sites around Baghdad, defense officials said. Commandos also seized documents and weapons. This ought to be interesting when they go through those documents. Maybe then some people will have their smoking gun. Maybe they'll get the memo that says, Dear Saddam, am planning visit to Baghdad. Stop. Have you still got that good pate? Stop. Love to meet your sister. Stop. Love and kisses, Abu. Stop. By the way, when are we going to do another terrorist act with your funding? Stop. Even if they had that, nobody'd believe it. They'd think the CIA invented it. Hey, Saddam Hussein, he's hooked up with terrorism. All right. Dear Saddam, remember when we got together and committed terrorist acts? Stop. All right, 1-800-449-8686. But wait, there's more. Anybody ever heard the name Robert Stethem? You know, you haven't, have you? Of course you haven't. Robert Stethem is lost to history. But in a moment, I'll tell you about Robert Stethem. Navy diver Robert Stethem. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I'll tell you about this Robert Stethem story. But first, as you probably know, Lacey, well, someone who some people speculate may be Lacey Peterson, the body of someone who some people speculate may be Lacey Peterson, has washed ashore in San Francisco Bay. And they also found the body of a fetus or a newly born baby. And there's reasons for that, and I don't know whether I ought to get into it or not. It's kind of gross, but it's it. In other words, a woman doesn't necessarily have to be alive for a baby to be expelled from her body, and it has a lot to do with the decomposition of a body, and that's as far as I'm going to go. But anyway, I was looking at this story, and I was thinking, man, some guys really hate being married. I mean, God. You know, look, I don't know if this happened to you, Chris. You've been married a year. I've been married going on 6 years. And right after I got married, I remember having panic attacks about it. Suddenly, seriously, as much as I love my wife and as much as I love the kids, I suddenly, at moments, I would go, holy Jesus, I'm married. You know, I would wake up in the morning and stare at the room and look at that. This room didn't look like my room. It had a lot of female touches, which is fine. But, you know, that was the only female that you would ever from now on be with. It's just an enormous life change. And my life, when I got married, went from about 5 miles an hour to 106 miles an hour with no rearview mirrors within days. Because I had a wife, kids, everything within days. But I was thinking, man, kill your wife and your unborn kid? What kind of mental midget have you got to be? I mean, not mental midget and stupid, but just, you know, completely devoid of any humanity. And, of course, everybody says, well, you got to be a sociopath. You must be some kind of a psychopath. You must not have any conscience. And that's all true, too. But I got to be honest with you. I looked at this, and I thought, this is also a guy who's looking to get out, man. He's looking, he may be a sociopath, because that's the only kind of guy that could commit that kind of a murder. But he's looking to get out, and he's looking to move on and have himself be a bachelor again. Figuring it's kind of an easy thing. All you got to do is cut off the head, throw it in the ocean, and she's done. You remember that Susan Smith? She drowned her kids. Why? She wanted to be with some guy. Like, human beings are just sacks of garbage. Oh, anyway. Sorry, I didn't mean to bum everybody out. I suppose it was necessary, though, to say, wouldn't it? Well, I guess I got to keep bumming you out, because I was going to tell you the story of this Robert Stethem. Robert Stethem was quite a guy. He was with the United States Navy. He was what they called a Navy diver. In fact, a ship has been named after him. They had a ceremony. And he was a construction diver, and they named, I think, a large ship. I don't know, one of these construction ships after him, the Robert Stethem. And these are Navy steelworkers who are also divers. They're able to do construction and not only work on the ships, but other things. And Robert Stethem was a Navy diver who was coming back from a job in the Middle East aboard a TWA flight back in 1985. And he was on flight 847. It departed Athens, and a group of hijackers immediately took over the plane. They were Lebanese Shiite Muslims. They were demanding that Israel release several hundred Shiite Muslim prisoners. They got to understand, this was such a common occurrence in the 80s. When's the last time you heard about a plane getting hijacked? I mean, that one got hijacked in Turkey, and it was over within minutes. Nobody got killed, and I think some passengers actually grabbed the guy. But back in the 80s and 70s and 60s, going on all the time. So the plane is hijacked. Now, one of the terrorists goes down the aisle, and he's looking for anybody in the military, especially American military or Jews. And this terrorist, by the way, is a real piece of walking garbage by the name of Mugniya, Imad Fayez Mugniya. And he's a piece of crap. And he finds Robert Stethem. And for the next several hours, while the passengers are held hostage, Robert Stethem is tortured. He's beaten. He's asked several times to renounce the United States, and he never does. Now, this is from the passengers who witnessed this. Finally, he is shot in the head, and they dump his body outside the back of the plane onto the tarmac of the airport in Beirut. Another American shot and dumped like garbage. Robert Stethem was a military guy, and as I say, they went on to name a ship, the SS Stethem, after him. He was given the Purple Heart and the Navy Bronze Star. And he was another victim of terrorism. And I was reminded of him because Klinghoffer was thrown like garbage off the ship. And who was that American that was thrown out of the back of that plane? It was Robert Stethem. He was taken and just tossed like a piece of crap out of the back of a plane. Now, you can give me all the reasons why we're hated. And I'm going to come back with a few reasons why we can start to hate. So if you want to tell me why we're hated internationally, and how we can understand the feelings of the people that hate us, I got a few stories to tell you that'll make you hate. Now, I do not believe in hating, and I don't even feel hate now for these people that did this. But what I do feel is a very strong sense that we got to continue this payback. And it's even more than that. It is securing our country once and for all, like we've never done in the past. It's the best way to deal with terrorists, the only way to deal with terrorists. It's to go after them where they live, where they eat, where they crap, right there in Baghdad, in Kabul, wherever it may be. And if one day it also turns out to be Damascus, then by God, I say there too. Now, right now, there's a lot of things we can do before we go to war in Syria. I know we were very, very successful in Iraq, and it's got everyone flush with victory, and everybody wants to prance off and get into a tank and roll on into another country. That's not how we do it. We do it smart, we do it slow, and when we're ready to go, we go. But all I got to do is think of Robert Stethem, Klinghoffer, 9/11. I got no problem. I don't know what everybody else is talking about. I got no problem at all. And now they get this guy a boss. He's sitting there in Baghdad. What's he doing there? Who does he know in Baghdad? Or who did he know until they ran off to Syria? And why didn't he go with them? Maybe he's a little too heavy for luggage. You know what I'm saying? Maybe they don't want to, you know, they don't want to be too burdened. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be back. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
One 800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, and they're all, they got a big meeting down there in the Middle East now because they want us out of Iraq as soon as possible. Hey, you're welcome. Don't mention it, guys. Boy, they want us out and they want it turned over to the Iraqis as soon as possible. When they say they want it turned over to the Iraqis as soon as possible, what they're basically saying is, let's get that civil war breaking out. Let's get an Iraqi civil war going, because the sooner you get those troops out of there, the sooner the Iraqi people will be absolutely lost as to what to do, because they need a little bit of structure, for God's sake. And then the Sunnis and the Shiites and the Kurds can be at each other's throats, and we'll have ourselves one hell of a melee, and then we can blame America, even though we wanted you to get out of there. We don't want an army of occupation. We want to get you out of there as soon as possible. We want to make sure the Iraqi people have taken matters into their own hands as soon as possible. Of course, when Saddam was in power, we couldn't have given two flips. We never said a thing about it. We didn't give a crap. But now, things are different because those Americans are there. Those Americans. Janice came in and reminded me of Daniel Pearl. I almost forgot about Daniel Pearl with his head cut off and on videotape. See, Americans, to these people, we're just garbage. Garbage. So, I say, you know, you can give just as good as you get. Anybody want to, you know, step up to the plate? I say, this is an example in Iraq. I don't make any apologies. And by the way, Saudi Arabia, you ain't calling any shots anymore. What do you think about that? All you guys with the bed sheets, back off. Go to the races. Go tend to your racehorses. Go drink some more of your American scotch or whatever it is you guys do. Just get your big bedsheet head out of our faces. You guys aren't calling any shots. We'll stay in Iraq as long as we figure we should stay in Iraq. Can you dig it? And the American people will be the only ones that decide on what happens. The American people right now seem to be in favor of what President Bush is saying. The French ain't gonna. The Germans ain't gonna. I don't care how many Italians they get walking around the street down there in Rome. They ain't gonna do diddly. The Russians ain't gonna do. Nobody's gonna tell anything about what's gonna go on down there except for the American people as to how long our troops stay there and what is needed. And we're really sorry about the museum, okay? Anything else? And the anarchy and the chaos and the looting. You want to know who started the anarchy, chaos, and looting? It was Hussein who stole everything from his people. So when he finally was out of there, they decided to get some of it back. Can you blame them? Now I understand that Chirac made a phone call to Bush. Look, just, you know, I guess the guy's got to do what he's got to do. And I understand that. And Bush is going to take the guy's phone call. But, boy, it was up to me. I'd say, oh, that's very nice, Jacques. That's great. Thank you. Uh-huh. No, no, we won't be needing your help at all. No, no, we can do it by ourselves. Thank you very much. Well, we demand that the United Nations... You what? You ain't demanding anything. Get out of here. Go fart another escargot. The hell are you talking about? They demand, don't they? Everybody's got demands. Everybody all of a sudden is in love with the Iraqi people. All of a sudden, they just love them. They want to be sure that they're okay. They're passing these... I read this, what was it, some edict that was passed by Syria that we have faith in our Arab brothers? What the hell does that mean? We have faith in our Arab brothers that they will see through this current crisis. You mean a crisis where they don't have Hussein anymore? I tell you what, rather than passing edicts, why don't you guys kick in with a few dollars? Yeah, that is a good idea. And that includes the bed sheets down there in Saudi Arabia. Why don't you guys kick in with a few bucks instead of your big fat mouths? And everybody else for that matter. Iran, all these guys that got the big love for the Iraqi people, money talks. Bullcrap walks. Right now, the only guys I see sticking any kind of money down there are the American people. We got a military presence down there. We're trying to secure the cities. We're doing, you know, I mean, we're there. All these guys know how to do is have meetings. One meeting after another. And they don't want us here and they don't want us there. Now they say that we're going to consider sanctions against Syria. Now here's the problem with the whole chemical weapon thing. I don't have a problem with us going after Iraq. He was a piece of crap, funding terrorists, etc., had chemical weapons and had used them. Syria may have used them as well. I don't know. But the fact of the matter remains that you cannot continue this sort of, you know, coalition effort at disarming countries unless you go through the motions first. and the motions, and they're increasingly the motions are going to the UN. So we'll go through the UN, and we'll see what they got to say. I really loved listening to this woman from some news agency in Jordan yesterday talking about the chemical weapons that Israel has and the nuclear weapons that Israel has, and that these other countries have the right to have them as well. Well, let me ask a question here. Who would you rather have a nuclear weapon? Who would you rather have the possession of a nuclear weapon? A country that's run by an electorate through a parliament, or a dictator? Because that's, as far as I'm concerned, the only discussion worth having. Those cats down there in the Middle East can talk all they want about how they got the right to have everything that Israel's got. I don't trust them as far as I can spit into a freaking hurricane. Yeah, right. Sure, okay, Assad, why don't you just get your hands on some nuclear weapons and some chemical weapons, because I'll just trust that you're a real cool cat. And the same goes with the Saudis and the rest of those guys. I would rather Israel, which at least has some checks and balance going with a democratic system, have nuclear weapons and chemical weapons than that other freak show down there in Damascus. So, sorry, it ain't going to be happening anytime soon. Is it fair? Maybe it isn't fair, but life isn't fair. That's what I tell my kids all the time. You guys can go, you take it and pound it as far as I'm concerned. Syria is already subject to some U.S. sanctions as it's designated a state sponsor of terrorism by the State Department for hosting Lebanese and Palestinian resistance groups fighting Israeli occupation of Arab lands. Lebanese and Palestinian resistance groups fighting Israeli occupation of Arab lands. You know, the other thing that it doesn't do you any good to say anymore is that those Arab lands that Israel occupies, they occupy as the result of having been attacked by an Arab state. Nobody wants to talk about that. And some of those Arab lands that Israel occupied, they gave back. They gave the Sinai back to Egypt. Why? Egypt signed a peace treaty. Maybe what they'd like to do is get a few more peace treaties going. Maybe they'll get a few more little bits of land back. And as far as the PLO, the PLF, or the rest of those pea brains, those guys have about as much concern for the Palestinian people as freaking the men from Mars. I bet you the guys on Mars have more concern for the Palestinian people. They've been looking at them through their telescopes, and they're thinking, boy, it looks like a nice piece of land down there. Let's take us some Arab land. Oh, you mean it's already taken? All those guys care about is hating Jews and killing Jews. But I tell you what, as soon as you want Israelis out of that so-called Arab land, I want you to start talking a little peace instead of the rest of that crap. All right, I'm all done. This is a great day, though. I loved it. Especially with this Abu Abbas guy getting it. And also, of course, the rumored suicide of Sahed. Is that the guy's name? Sahed? Ya'al Shahaf. That's great. Can you imagine a guy after laying all that crap out there, and then he goes back someplace and blows his brains out behind a building somewhere? What are you doing? I got to kill myself. Why? Because it's all bull crap. What do you mean, why? It's not one thing I said that's true. Oh, I was buying it. Well, you were buying it. That's because you buy everything, you idiot. Take that beret off. You look like a... I don't know what you look like. You look like you ought to be serving periwinkles somewhere in Paris. Get it off. You going to kill yourself? Yes, I'm going to kill it. Why? Because the game's up, baby. Didn't you hear the guy say it? It's over. Al-Duri's over in Syria, and Saddam, he's got that villa in Spain, and where am I? I'm standing here. I got two nickels I'm rubbing together trying to make the buffaloes mate. Come on. I'm not even out of Syria or whatever. Where are we? Iraq. Yeah, I'm not out of there yet. Well, I thought you were a great information minister. Well, that's just great. Thank you. A lot of good it did me. Tell me, are we winning or are we losing? What do you think? All right, 1-800-449-8686. Anyway, these Iraqis are dropping out of sight all over the world. The ambassador to Moscow, they don't know where he is. The guy in London, they can't find him. All of a sudden, they're just gone. You know where they are? Some people think they're in Syria. At least one of them said that he was going to Syria. What's his face? The guy with the comb over, Al-Duri, he went over there. Shouldn't we make those guys cough them up? I think we should. I think we should say, excuse me, yeah, we just fought a war to get these guys. Now they're in your country. We'd like them back now. Well, no, this is a sovereign state. Look, we're not going to mess around. Get them out of there. 48 hours, every one of them. Well, we don't have the right to do that. The hell we don't have the right to do that. These guys are wanted for war crimes. Now get them out of there right now. We're a sovereign state. Watch how sovereign you are, man, in about 2 weeks. Because we figure it'll be about 2 weeks for Syria. It took a month for Iraq. Syria, maybe two weeks, 17 days. All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. We have our new Citizens Auxiliary Police travel mug, which, by the way, Jay Santos will be making an appearance today on our show, and our black and white coffee and latte mug. You got to get all of this stuff. You got to get it all. Just, you know, that way you'll be set for Christmas. You'll be set for Easter. You'll be set for New Year's, Halloween, your anniversary. Can you imagine presenting your loved one a beautiful mug on your Halloween or on your anniversary? It'd be great. All right, so visit our website, philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Oh, you got to go to our website, by the way. We got a brand new picture on the website. This was sent to us by another a listener who I don't know if these guys are in the service or not. I don't know who's sending us this stuff. I think they may be service members. Are they? Our friends of service members. And then we also got the one from the one guy who's over in Iraq. But you got to go to our website and check out this latest new picture, which we're going to put up. Pictures as we get them from service people or friends of service people. Not all of them, because not all of them are all that good, but we got two that are really awesome on our homepage, and you got to see them, especially the new one that we put up today. It's beautiful. Beautiful. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. God, man, do I got to stop using drugs. Anyway, yesterday on our show, Vernon Dozier, a high school teacher, was on saying that he was sickened by the fact a Canadian won the Masters at Augusta, considering the Canadians didn't back us up, or allegedly didn't back us up in the war. Mike Weir was the winner, and Vernon believes that Mike should hand back the Augusta Masters green jacket until there is a Canadian dead in combat. Here's Vernon from yesterday.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I don't want to insult you, but you're comparing apples and oranges. There's... one has nothing to do with the other.
What are you talking about, apples and oranges?
You're comparing... golf is a game. This man was invited to play the game on his merits
by
the golf...
Why does he have to be a Canadian? Why? So why?
What?
Why?
So what?
So what, ma'am?
Because you have... just because you have a hard-on for Canadians, because you think this Canadian hockey player was aiming for your head...
Ma'am?
Well, he probably should have hit you in the head, because maybe you'd have more sense.
Oh, so you would want me to have a fractured skull. So you want me to have a fractured skull?
No, I don't want you to have a fractured skull. I want you to stop thinking that people who deserve to win a game on their own merits as a golfer has anything to do with the war.
How do I get over this?
It has nothing to do with the war.
I understand, but I it just eats me up every day, Gina.
If you're so upset with the Canadians, then what our government needs to do is, if they ever need help, we just tell them, tough, you didn't help us when we needed it. We're
going to
help you.
Yeah, sure, that's going
to
happen real soon. Hey, America, we're going
to
invade Russia. Would you help us?
It's the game of golf.
You're dragging
something into this that it has nothing to do with.
Ma'am,
it's a game.
I can still hear... Her name was Julie Cahill. I can still hear her.
But that's
laughing.
Your problem. Do you understand that that's your problem?
She laughed
it's
at me.
It's the way you took it.
Would you excuse me for a minute?
What are you doing, sir?
He's flushing the toilet.
Sir, what are you doing?
I'm sorry, but that the old guy talked so long, and I... Ma'am, can I ask you a question, Gina?
Yes.
Have you ever been called a puck butler?
No, I've been called other things, though, and it doesn't matter to me. If those are the people that are going to call me names, I know what I am, and I'm very confident in myself, and I'm very, very secure. So if those people wanted to call you names, then that's their problem.
Right.
You,
I mean,
you took it that way.
You got this whole thing about Canada winning the Masters and not supporting us in the war on terror because
it's
a girl
nothing to do with anything.
A girl laughed at you because you screamed when a puck came at your head.
Can I ask
you? You did that to yourself.
Gina, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
What have you been called?
Will you forget it?
I've been called a bitch. I've been called a whore. I've been called a lot of things.
A whore? Who called you that? Who called you that? A boyfriend?
Probably at one time.
Your dad?
Never mind.
Oh, my God. My father would never call me that. Why, did your father call you names? Maybe that's what your problem is.
Yeah, my father called me Fancy Pants once.
Well, that's where your problem is. You need to take it up with a therapist, not the Canadians,
but
this poor guy that won this golf tournament.
Have you been called a bitch and a whore? Was that your husband? Your husband called you that?
My husband has called me those names, yes.
Did he ever call you the C word?
No.
Because you'd leave him if he did that, wouldn't you?
Well, I'm going to leave him anyway, but that's not what
I'm saying. Oh, you're leaving him? Well, you know, years ago.
Are we still on Canada and the Masters? What are you doing here?
I know. You're getting totally off the point.
All I'm saying is that when that puck came sailing at my head and I lost my control of my bowels a little bit.
But that's your problem.
Why did it have to be a Canadian?
Oh, there's Mr. Dozier in the crowd. I'm going to aim for his head so I can embarrass him in front of his girlfriend.
Oh,
you're really, really crazy.
Bill Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
All right, now, Janice, you're from Canada. What is a puck butler? That is the funniest thing I've ever heard in my existence. You made it up? She made it up. Janice made up. Have you ever been called a puck butler? Now, what is Tim Robbins? What's your problem now? He's in the news again. Him and Michael Moore. I'm starting to get a headache. Michael Moore was in the news. He's got his mouth open again, talking about Bush. You know, the only reason why he's got that big trap open is so he's hopeful it's maybe a waiter will slip and what's on his tray will slide in. He hadn't got any opinions about anything. He just figures if he talks long enough, somebody's liable to toss a ham sandwich in there. Good God. Yeah, we know, Michael, you're against Bush. Good for you. Hey, you really got everybody up in arms. You're just pissing everybody off. You're such an iconoclast. Ooh. Hey, by the way, Michael, I hear your book was ghostwritten by another person, a woman. I hear that you didn't even write that book that you're claiming is selling out. Hey, everybody, if you buy Michael Moore's book, he really didn't write it. Go ahead, sue me, fatso. It's my opinion. I tell you what, Michael, I'll take you out for a greasy corned beef sandwich. I'm sure that'll put a smile on your face. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686.
And now more on the Bill Hendry Show.
I just saw Tim Robbins on TV. Looked like he would start bawling. Did you see him? He's just... And the people in the Clear Channel. Hey, Robbins, here's how it works. You can say what you want to say, and Cooperstown gets to say what it wants to say. Who says they got to do business with you? Oh, they didn't want you to do a speech at Cooperstown? What, are you going to start bawling about it? They don't want you around there. Can't you take a hint? Bug off. It's day 5. Would a shower kill you? Just nobody wants you there. Just you and Susan go back to the beach and walk the dog and feel depressed. Feel depressed about the injustice of America as you pick up another dog turd off of Malibu Beach with your plastic glove. Talk about how unjust and horrible a place it is and what a dark period we're entering, like it's the second coming of McCarthyism, while you review scripts. Who are you kidding, man? Look, I like your acting. Honest to God, The Player, one of my favorite movies. It's just when you talk and you're not in a movie, suddenly it bugs me. You and Moore. Hey, Michael, make movies. Don't talk. The longer you keep your mouth closed, the less you weigh. Seriously, science has done a study. Science has done a study, and it is absolutely proven that if you keep your mouth shut for long periods of time, you suddenly, the fat just begins to ooze off. Really? And think of how fun it'll be to be able to actually ride in the cab of a truck instead of the bed. Thank you. All right, Lacey Peterson. It could take days or even up to several weeks to determine whether the badly decomposed bodies of a woman and an infant boy that washed up on the Northern California shoreline, and this was in the bay, the South Bay. I don't know what part of the bay. Where's Richmond? Is that the northern part of the San Francisco Bay? Of Lacey Peterson and her son, her unborn son. Now, Lacey Peterson, you may remember, is the woman who went missing on the morning of December the 24th, which was obviously Christmas Eve. Her husband said that he last saw his wife that morning as she left their home to walk the dog. He said he then went fishing at the Berkeley Marina about 3 miles south of where the woman's body was found. An independent forensic pathologist examined the woman's body for 4 hours Monday night after it was found by an individual walking her dog in a park near Point Isabel. The baby's body had surfaced about a mile away with his umbilical cord still attached. And just so you know, it is possible for a woman to give birth after she is dead. It doesn't necessarily mean the child will be alive, but there are certain realities to decomposition, and that's as far as I want to go with explaining that, and I'm sure you don't want to hear any more of it. But let me just say that scientifically, at least, is a fact. Now, this guy Peterson, what's his name? Scott Peterson. His attorney, Kim Kirk Allister, said he had told his client about the day's developments. He's very concerned and broken up at the prospect that it might be his wife. Yeah, I guess. Look, I ain't saying the guy's guilty, but I ain't saying he's innocent either. I ain't saying I like him, but then I ain't saying I don't like him. Let me tell you what I am saying. You know, ever since OJ, everybody's a genius when it comes to murder investigations. And I'm only half kidding. I mean, we have learned a lot as television viewers watching Court TV. I used to think out loud, Jesus, you know, when Court TV came along, it just, life became unbearable because everybody became Sherlock Holmes. Every junior detective out there was sitting around in the deli at night with his friends going, but I can tell you that OJ was guilty because the gun was, you know. It's like when I walked into the deli there in Miami one day during the OJ trial, and it was my friend there, Youssef, and the guy had a great Armenian, deli, and I used to go in there and get stuffed grape leaves, and I'd hang around until they threw me out, basically. How's it going, is there coffee in at all? Look, will you get out? Do you have anywhere to go? Not really. I just got off the air. I know. I can tell. I listen to your show. So anyway, I'm walking in there, and a guy one day, no, you fool. If OJ did not have the glove, this is what I'm hearing. Well, we did, though, because we figured it out. Husbands kill their wives. And the first person they look at is the husband. It's always that thing. You know, they always look at the person closest. 9 times out of 10, it's somebody that you know who kills you if you are the victim of a killing. And O.J. was guilty. The only reason why I didn't get convicted was because the jury had another agenda, which is cool. I mean, it's fine. They're African-Americans, and it's more likely for a black person to believe a cop will plant evidence than it is for a white person. That's just a social and political and every kind of thing reality. It just is. You can say it's wrong or right. It just is. Because that's their experience. But anyway, O.J. was guilty of sin, and he walked. Everybody is really torn up about that. I don't particularly put a whole lot of emotional... Do you worry about it, Mark? I mean, I'm not like... You know, it ain't eating my days up like some people. And O.J., if I ever see him again... I mean, give it a rest. The guy's in Miami. I liked Miami. I enjoyed living there, but a lot of people don't. Maybe he don't. Who knows? Now we have this guy, Scott Peterson. His wife goes missing. He starts running around California, and he's giving out flyers, and every time somebody sticks a microphone in his face or a camera in his face, he's only too happy to talk, and he's preening his eyebrows and hiring a press agent or whatever the hell he did, and then he runs off and does Good Morning America, and the guy is just digging the attention. Why? Because, that's where it's at for. He wants to look like a good guy. He wants to look like he's really solid so that nobody will think that he killed his wife. I mean, for any guy running around the country with the big smile on his kiss or doing Good Morning America, hey, pal, it don't look good. What are you? That's why I know he's not stupid, so he's got to be some kind of a psychopath, because those people just mimic the behavior of other people. So somebody needs to take him back to psychopath school and say, look, when your wife dies, don't go on Good Morning America and smile. But I saw Ted Bundy do it. Look where he is, okay? He's in a freaking ashtray. What are you, nuts? All right, I'll try something different. Yeah, don't smile. Go on and cry. In fact, don't do Good Morning America. Well, I want to, because it's like it helps me realize that it gives me power over people, because that's what a psychopath needs. I need power over people. I understand that. But you're going to have to get it some other way, all right? See, when I have the media there, I can control what they're saying about me, and it's just one more element of control that I can have in my life. I didn't have any control when I was married to Lacey. She was always with the baby this and the baby that, and, you know, with the birth of the baby, I'd have less control. I understand that. What are you going to give me your life story? I'm not interested. I'm just telling you how to make it through Good Morning freaking America. But your baby? Well, thank you, Mr. Ripper. You're welcome. So, this guy is up there. They find cement in the boat, didn't they? Cement. He says the construction workers used it. The construction workers said that ain't the kind we use. How long do you think this cat's going to be walking around free before they finally go, all right, Scott, get in the car? I mean, how long is it going to be? Do they have him under surveillance, do you think? Really? Then how come he got out of the country and went down to Mexico and did that? What was he doing down there? Did the Mexicans have him under surveillance? See, in the player that starred Tim Robbins, he didn't go to never mind. So they did the autopsy on this unfortunate woman, whoever she may be, and they're going to determine who she is. It was an adult female and a baby male, and we do know that Ms. Peterson was expecting a son. They are trying to determine the identity of the woman. My very good friend in there, Janice Ngaro, my producer, thinks there's no doubt that it is her. Now, she was three miles south of where he went fishing. The baby's a mile south of her. He did say that he was in the San Francisco Bay. He's admitted as such because he figures, well, I can't lie about that. Somebody will have spotted me at the marina. Now, how do you get a body out on a little dinghy like what he had with the outboard motor? And how do you get, and by the way, the head was cut off, the legs. What kind of world are we living in now that this is just common knowledge? You know, it used to be a serial killer would cut the head and the legs off of a torso and be polite about it. And nobody would freaking discover it for weeks, and the papers weren't reporting it, except for the torso killer in Cleveland. Oh, you never heard of the torso killer in Cleveland? Never have? I'm going to tell you about the torso killer from Cleveland when we come back from this break, because it involved one of the most famous names in American police history. The torso killer of Cleveland. You think I'm kidding, don't you, Chris? I'm not. And I will talk about it very briefly, and then we'll get back to Lacey Peterson, and then more stuff from the Middle East. They found Abu Abbas. You know who he is? He's a real walking piece of turd that they found in Baghdad. No, there's no terrorists there. Hussein's got no connection with terrorists. No, of course not. He just happened to be there. If Saddam had known, of course, he would have thrown him out or turned him over to the UN. 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Plus, we're going to see what Michael Moore has on tap for dinner tonight. And we'll be right back.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Let me ask you, I'm sorry, I just stepped all over Whitney. Sorry, Whit. Let me ask you a question. If I own a bar, And I was going to show in my bar. I guess I'd have to have permission from the producers, right? To show in the bar Bull Durham starring Tim Robbins. I don't have to have permission. In the bar, if I've got people coming into the bar, I didn't think you could rebroadcast it for... Yeah, I know. They have Melrose Place nights. But anyway, let's just say I got a bar and I'm going to show Bull Durham. And then I say, no, wait a minute. Tim Robbins is, I don't dig what he's saying about this war. I ain't going to show it. Is he going to call me up and say that I'm infringing on his right of free speech and expression? Because that's what he's saying to the Hall of Fame. He's saying that the Baseball Hall of Fame has decided to use this event to make a political statement. They have infringed upon his right of free speech. See, guys like Tim Robbins and most celebrities believe that they should have a microphone everywhere they go so that they can say something stupid. Most people don't have microphones everywhere they go. Most people just have nobody that's interested at all in what they have to say. The existential reality of life is most people, no one gives a crap about what they think or say. The only thing anybody cares about is what they have to say, what they think. Like right now, all I care about is listening to my voice. Think I care about you in there, Pelton, with your stare at me, you looking at me with that dumb stare? So, I'm kidding, Chris. Robbins is saying something that is very typical. He's saying, especially for a celebrity, hey, wait a minute. I don't have a free screening of my movie someplace. You're infringing on my right to free speech. No, that's not what it is. It's like I tell people who call a talk show, you don't have a right to talk on a talk show. You do not. I control whether you get on the air or not. This is my show. I have to present the best possible show I can. I control who goes on the air here. Well, then how come you get to, Phil? Because my employers have given me the license for the time being to entertain and, yes, express opinion. And they can pull it anytime they want. Just by the luck of the draw, because I'm good looking and I'm Irish and I got the love of Jesus in my beautiful blue eyes, that I have this podium. But the day may come that I may not have it. I don't think I got a right to this gig. You see what I'm saying? So when Robin says that his free speech is being imposed upon, no, it isn't. You can go anywhere you want to say what you want to say. The Hall of Fame doesn't have to have you there. They don't want you there. Now, is it keeping you from making a living? Well, then maybe you got a point. Maybe then you got what's called a black ball. If they're stopping you from making a living. But I want to tell you right now, I mean, I'll take my clothes off in the middle of Wilshire Boulevard if Tim Robbins loses nickel one from any of this crap that he's been spilling and spewing here over the last few months about the war with Iraq and all his other predictable points of view about the big, bad America. If this guy's lost nickel one, man, he ain't lost a dime. What he's lost is nobody's kissing his ass up one side and down the next and telling him what a great actor and what a fantastic guy he is. I guess that hurts, but it ain't, you know, you're still in dog food, aren't you? You're still paying the bills. Come on, man. You can't open your mouth and say something and then expect the world to say, yeah, it's really great. It's like that. It's like Eddie Vedder. You know, he was shocked. He was stunned that people booed him. He actually said, you're booing the people that I'm making fun of, aren't you? You're not really booing me. I mean, he couldn't believe that he was being booed. He couldn't believe that people were disagreeing with him. And then he had the unmitigated gall to say this, hey, man, it's about free speech. As he stood there with a microphone and 85 million speakers and everybody else is standing there on the floor having to listen to Eddie Vedder. Free speech. Yeah, but that guy who said shut up and booed you, he got a little free speech going too. You ever heard of that? Free speech does not necessarily mean I got to stand there and listen to you. I get to boo, and I also get to heckle. And as a consumer, I also get to stay away from your movie, man. Now, I don't have the right not to hire you if I don't like your politics. But that ain't happening to him. It ain't happening to any of these cats. It ain't happening to Janine Garofalo. It ain't happening to whatever the hell the other guy's name is. What's his name? Marr? Bill Marr? Reason why he got bounced off of ABC is his show blew. And let me tell you, by the way, it's only gotten worse on HBO. Oh, my God. Have you heard that guy? Have you seen that show he's got on HBO? Now he's saying things like, you know, if you don't go after Korea and you go after, you're just a hypocrite. I'm sorry. And it's like he suddenly, there was a time when you'd watch him and he maybe didn't take himself so seriously. Now it's, oh, boy. So, Robbins, why don't you take a chill pill? Take a couple of days off. Take the old lady, and I do mean old lady, out to, I'm kidding. Take her to Hawaii. Make another movie. Do what you need to do to feel like you're a movie star again. Talk a bunch of crap. Maybe if you ever get nominated for another Academy Award and actually win, you can decline to accept it. Stuff like that. Stuff that's already been done a million times. Take a page out of your buddy Michael Moore's book. That guy, there isn't a cliche that he hasn't hammered to death. Michael Moore, what's his latest thing now? It's, oh yeah, Bush started this war as a distraction away from the economy. That was it. I think you started talking all that crap, Michael, as a distraction away from the fact that you didn't write that book you're promoting. Thank God, too. One good movie every 10 years is a good thing. Now, he had Roger and Me, which was cool. Then he did the follow-up, Roger and Me 2 or something, or Me and something. Roger, it sucked. It was really, it was bad. It was like enough already with Flint. Then he comes out with this one, Bowling for Columbine, which is awesome. I guarantee the next movie he comes out with is going to have to do with Bush and Iraq and how messed up the whole thing is, right? And it's going to be just another heavy-handed attempt to be funny by him. TV Nation, loved it. Oh, it's off the air? I'm sorry. All right, 1-800-449-8686. What was I going to talk about? Oh, yeah, that guy, the story of the torso killer in Cleveland? Because we were talking about Lacey Peterson, and I do want to finish up with that. And I'll tell you all about it when I come back. 1-800-449-8686. Our website is up and running, of course, as always, 24 hours a day. You can always check in. Get yourself a backstage pass. You can hear our show live streamed every day. Also, you can hear a 30-day archive of our shows over the last 30 days. Been a little unusual around here because of the war with Iraq, or in Iraq, or on Iraq, or under Iraq. But, you know, things just sort of ebb and flow, and we just go with it. We also have our souvenir shop. We've got the brand-new Western Estates Country Club polo shirt, the Western States Homeowners Association Country Club polo shirt. We have our Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt. We have the official Phil Henry Show T-shirt, our Citizens Auxiliary Police travel mug, our black and white coffee and latte mug with my mug on it. It's all there at our souvenir shop, philhenryshow.com.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
We got our war diary. Just because the war is ostensibly over in Iraq doesn't mean we end our war diary, because things continue. There's activity in the West. And we continue from our exclusive military sources to lay it on you. And listen to this one. Although President Bush and administration spokesmen have carefully skirted any explicit threat of military action against Syria, as of Sunday night, small teams of American undercover troops were already inside Syria, marking out the hideouts of Saddam's close family, his top lieutenants, military leaders, and the directors of his banned weapons programs. U.S. Special Forces troops were additionally directed to locate the men who drive the operational arm of Hezbollah, Jihad Islami, and Hamas terror groups. Now, I like that. I dig that. Going to war with Syria is one thing. Going to war with Hezbollah and the rest of those scumbags, wiping them out. No, I mean, that's like taking a can of Raid to a roach nest. What's the big deal there? Somebody going to start crying tears over that? 24 hours later, on Monday night, three events brought Syria even closer to becoming the object of direct American action, additionally placing France in Washington's sight, albeit for a different kind of punishment. Syria faces imminent economic sanctions at best, although since experience shows they never work, military action is very much on the cards. France stands to pay a diplomatic and financial price for certain actions that have come to light. Our sources describe the White House as particularly incensed over the following pieces of intelligence. Now listen to this. Documents coming to light in Baghdad directly incriminate Syria as a full partner in the financing, development, and concealment of Iraq's weapons of mass destruction. A source familiar with the new data reveals that Syria was not only a full partner, but active in every stage of these programs to the point that they deserve to be called Iraq-Syrian, not just Iraqi, undertakings. Well before the UN weapons inspectors came on the scene last year, the Syrian president, Bashar Assad, took it upon himself to conceal the banned weapons one by one as they came off the production line. Syria's support for Iraq and the UN Security Council and the attacks leveled by Foreign Minister Farouk Al-Sarraj against Washington for venturing to accuse Iraq of concealing weapons of mass destruction were staged to misdirect attention from the biggest political, intelligence, and military fraud perpetrated since the Cold War. Washington's indignation over these discoveries has been manifest in a torrent of warnings to and charges against Damascus in the last 3 days. Defense Secretary Rumsfeld took the opportunity of the warm welcome he gave the visiting Kuwaiti ruler on Monday to produce intelligence that Syria had conducted chemical weapons tests in the last year. Now, here's the only thing I want to say. Who said they can't have chemical weapons? Or is there a thing that they are not supposed to have them? See, chemical weapons are banned internationally from use. You can't use them in warfare. There's a Geneva Convention that covers that. However, who says you can't have them? Now, Saddam wasn't supposed to have them as a part of the punishment for the Gulf War. Now, Rumsfeld could have said more. According to our sources, the defense secretary was also informed that in the same period, Syria test-fired missiles fitted with chemical warheads from Aleppo in the north to Dajel Druze in the south near the Syrian-Iraqi-Jordanian border. There's also details of a comprehensive military collaboration treaty that Assad secretly concluded with Saddam Hussein. There's also aid that Syria was rendered by France. Now, the most scary of all this stuff is that they've uncovered French-made missiles in Iraq that were made in 2002. These are illegal missiles. This was an illegal sale of arms to Iraq. And it was a sale of arms made by the French. I am told that because it was state to state, you can track these sales. It didn't go through third parties like it went to Ukraine and Ukraine sold it to Syria, to Iraq. This went from France to Iraq. By the way, over the last couple of days, it's been pointed out to me that I've been transposing Iraq and Syria, and I apologize. Like I was saying, we're considering attacking Iraq when I meant to say Syria, and maybe I'm doing that again. Am I doing it again? Yeah, well, okay. So now the French are selling the Iraqis banned weapons. Now, how much crap do you think the French are standing in right now? Now, I'm not suggesting we go to war with France because, you know, who wants to pull their pants down and spank them again? I mean, they've taken it enough in the rear end to, as a country. I mean, but they should know better than that. Are they that desperate to turn the world away from an American vision to a French, Russo-Germanic vision that they will arm a terrorist regime in the face of United Nations sanctions and at the same time stand there in front of the UN and say, the U.S. is going against the United Nations and we have decreed, and look at America, it's an illegal war and it's a war of aggression, while they went around the very same international law? How would my brother-in-law dumbass take that news? That's right. So if I were the French, man, I'd start wearing lead underwear. Better get on that chastity belt. Get a load of that. That's from our exclusive military sources, which maybe other people have got this information, but I doubt it. I got all kinds of crap here, and I'm not going to bore you with it. We got coming up, by the way, Jay Santos, and we're also going to have a visit from Margaret Gray. Another little piece of a flashback from her days in Paris during the war. And Bud's comedy quarter this hour, I'm told I have to do. I don't want to do it, but I'm told I've got to do Bud's comedy corner. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. And again, our website is philhenryshow.com. And if you would, check out our souvenir shop and pick up our Best Of CD, because the Best of the Phil Henry Show CD, when sold, is able to provide money for my friend's place, which is a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. These are kids from all over the country, and everybody's squealing about domestic issues as opposed to international issues. That's how we deal with domestic issues, okay? We talk about the international stuff. We deal with the domestic stuff on our website with the sale of our CD, funding my friend's place, and organizations like that. So every time you buy a CD, you're helping kids who have run away from home and are now, living out on the streets in Los Angeles. And you may be able to turn a couple of those lives around and get these guys going in the right direction. So that's our CD. Any one of them purchased. But this year's CD, I tell you, is a good buy because it's a double CD set. There's two CDs for the price of one, $20. Two CDs, double the material for the price of one. Just go to philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
You want to do this?
Yeah. Well, you got to introduce me.
And now, Bud Dickman's Comedy Corner.
And the laugh.
Go ahead.
Hi, everybody. Bud Dickman. And it's time now for a few laughs. And this is our Comedy Corner today. What are you doing?
Nothing. I'm just making a phone call.
To who?
No one. Yeah, he's here. Go ahead.
Who are you talking to?
Don't worry about it.
Anyway, a recent statement from the French's Mustard Company said the following. We at French's wish to put an end to statements that our product is manufactured in France. There's no relationship, nor had there ever been a relationship, between our mustard and the country of France. Indeed, our mustard is manufactured in Rochester, New York. The only thing we have in common is we're both yellow. Why not you laugh?
What do you mean, why not I laugh? I'm not laughing because it ain't funny. And all of the phony laugh tracks that you can muster up won't make it funny.
The French Tennis Open for this year has been canceled due to a national crisis. They have plenty of rackets, but no balls. You're not laughing.
No, go ahead.
Here's another great joke. Five surgeons were discussing whom...
Oh, no. Please, no.
You called in an airstrike on me.
That's right. I did. I called in a sortie, man.
What's the difference between a Frenchman and a bucket of crap? Oh, come on, man. Yeah, man.
All right, bud. Very good. Oh, man. Shock and awe. That's a little audio from the early stages of the war. Just thought you'd like to relive some pleasant memories. Some nice moments. From me to you. 1-800-449-8686. It's now time for our flashback of the day. Margaret Gray talking crap from Paris. She thought she was in the war zone, reporting some heavy-osity there, but she was just sitting in Paris drinking wine.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Phil, I need to tell you, this woman is an absolute disgrace to the journalists, the hard-working journalists throughout the world.
I beg your pardon.
I have to tell you, ma'am, I work with hard-working journalists every day, and for what you may or may not have for breakfast, is one irrelevant of the war and your reporting or so-called reporting on the war.
And where are you right now?
You to go ahead and tell that you had to have some type of illicit sexual relations or whatever, or however you qualify that, is again a disgrace to the journalists and the American people and whoever is listening to you and taking you seriously.
I would think so.
And I have to tell you, for
I would
to
like
say
to
that journalists are over there doing only something they can't do because they're married and they have to go away. How does she condone this person who calls himself a journalist, condone saying that whatever it takes to get the information, ma'am, you really need to either go back to Macy's, Bloomingdale's, or wherever you get those camouflage pumps.
I'd like to
get your journalism book out. And, ma'am, you just need to, your disservice to this reporting is just incredible.
May I say
it is incredible. You are a disgrace.
Mr. Hendry, may I say something?
Go ahead.
I wonder what area of journalism this woman works in. Is it digging up banana bread recipes or writing obituaries? I don't know. But I happen to be in the theater of operation.
Well, hold on. You're not in the theater of operation. You're in Paris, France.
I'm sorry,
and the only thing you're in is the theater of Margaret, and you want everyone to know what you're doing. You're truly a disgrace.
I happen to be closer to the theater of operation, Diane, than you. And I have
34 of our hardworking men and women from my agency over there fighting for us. And I'm going to tell you something. I work with looting and death every day, and for you to think that you just getting information and not being able to eat, shame on you, shame on your reporting.
Let me say something,
shame on you ever taught you your tactics.
I hope the day never comes that you as a journalist find yourself in a position where you've got to give an 18-year-old boy a feel-up just to get some information that's vital to your reading.
Shame on you then for having to stoop to that. You don't have any integrity left.
I think it's very easy for
shame
a woman
on you, no scruples and no integrity. You're not a journalist, ma'am.
May I ask where you are right now? What part of the country?
Phil, I think I've made my point. Thank you for your reporting.
Because if she told me where she was, I bet you I could figure out who she works for.
Well, she's in West Palm Beach.
Yeah. National Enquirer. Thank you.
No, enough I don't said. Think so, ma'am.
Enough said.
No, I work in law enforcement, thank you, and I work with journalists every day. You are truly a shame. Thank you, Phil. I will continue to listen.
Thank you very much, ma'am.
Well, so she throws a little hand grenade and she runs out. A, I get the news. B, I did not have sexual relations with this young man. I let him feel me up. Big deal.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Excuse me. As soon as I heard big deal, I sucked coffee into my lungs. Pardon me. Big deal. She's great. God, I hope she never... Margaret, stay healthy. Don't get in that Palestine hotel, because they may take a shot at you, too. All right. The torso killer in Cleveland. I was going to get to this, because we were talking about Lacey Peterson. In the mid to late 30s, there was a this is going to sound like one of them, and now you know the rest of the story. But there was a police director of public safety, is what he was called, in the city of Cleveland. He was one of the, he instituted the very first radio cars in American police. The first radio cars were in Cleveland, where they had radios. He was one of the first police chiefs to institute anti-gang programs in the city of Cleveland. During a summer while he was the chief of police there, they had a guy, their torsos were turning up, literally, on the river there in Cleveland. No arms, no legs, no head. I think they had maybe a half a dozen or something. And he could never solve the crime. And, in fact, he did do some things that were kind of extra legal. I mean, he would raid places and he'd incarcerate guys and bring them in for questioning. And it was one of the biggest failures, and it haunted him for the rest of his life.
And that man was Elliot Ness.
No, really, it was Elliot Ness. He had left the Treasury Department after, you know, doing what he did in Chicago, which was significant. But, by the way, he never met Al Capone, and he didn't beat him up. You know, I mean, all that crap from the movies. He dried up a lot of breweries, and he made business very difficult for Capone to do. And the Untouchables were a bunch of young guys. They were like 26. The oldest one was 30. And they were quite effective cops. But anyway, Elliot Ness went on. He became the director of public safety for Cleveland, but was never able to solve this torso killer thing. And years later, he went to work for a check security company. These are companies that produce checks that are secure. In other words, you can't duplicate them, you can't forge them. And he was a security advisor for them. And he was in Washington, D.C. with a friend of his who was a sports writer, and they were actually another friend of his in the company who knew a sports writer. And they were sitting having a couple of blasts of bourbon, and this guy said, well, my friend Elliot Ness, you know, he used to be a crime buster in Chicago. Well, this writer became very interested. He said, well, tell me about it. So Ness sent him his scrapbooks of stuff, and that book became The Untouchables. And before it was published, he was called by the publisher to say, we're going to print the book, Mr. Ness, and we're going to send you some galleys, some advanced printings. And he got off the phone, he walked in, said to his wife, boy, I feel really good, went over to the sink to get a glass of water, and died of a heart attack on the floor. So Elliot Ness never saw the movie or the book or any of the baloney. But anyway, that was the torso killer thing. Don't turn the laugh on. Phil Hendry Show.
Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
We did want to speak to the police today to get some insight into home security at the end of this war. We have with us Jay Santos. He's with the Citizens Auxiliary Police. This is not, sir, a police force. It's not a municipal force?
No, sir, we're not a municipal force. We are an auxiliary police force. We are citizens who are members of this auxiliary force.
Do you have powers of arrest?
Well, we have a citizen's arrest power, and we certainly take that very seriously. I think it's dangerous to think that we're that much different from regular police. We are on the front line of law enforcement.
But I mean, is this your primary job, sir?
I take it very seriously. I don't know what you're asking. I also work for I do security at a bottling plant, but this is my primary job.
All right, well, Mr. Santos, we wanted to talk a little bit about security here as it winds down at home. And you and your organization, or your force, have been concerned with yellow ribbons?
That's correct, Phil. What we're trying to do is stay ahead of the ball a little bit wherever there's a possibility of one part of the community going up against each other.
And you see that possible with the yellow ribbons?
I think the situation we see right now, yeah, with the yellow ribbons, I think it's a wonderful gesture of patriotism and appreciation for the men and women. They're a little bit of a problem for us. We want to see what we can do to clean it up.
Well, how do you mean?
Well, one of the things that we try to do, Phil, is we're going to try to keep the factions away from each other here in the United States. We have close to 8 million Muslims living in the United States. And what we just got done doing in Iraq, that doesn't make them feel too good.
That was, what do you mean, not make them feel too good? That was a war against a dictator.
Well, that's understood, but most of your Muslims think it was a religious war, and the fact that the United States took it to them pretty good, put it to them good, was only going to anger them more. That's why what we're asking, Phil, to get the point is, for now, what we're asking is that the yellow ribbons come down and the flags until such...
Well, wait a minute.
No, hold on. Just until such time as the Muslim community gets used to the idea that there was a defeat over there in Iraq. It's nothing personal against them. It's not personal. They do take it personal.
Well, you're asking people to take down yellow ribbons and flags so as not to what?
So as not to offend the Muslims out there, because these people are very emotional, a lot of them are Arab. And the other thing we want people to know is that when you tie a yellow ribbon, and the person you're tying it for may have been killed, then you're not going to want to tie it. You've wasted a lot of time, and you've made some Muslims upset, or you might have done something to upset the Muslim community. So what we're trying to do is make sure before you tie the yellow ribbon, and I know that...
Well, this is some sensitive stuff. You're talking about somebody's loved one dying.
I understand that, Phil. And I'm trying to be as sensitive as I can. I'm just saying that when you do tie a yellow ribbon, make sure the person you're tying it for is still alive or it's not in a body bag or anything because you don't want to tie a yellow ribbon. And plus, it unnecessarily antagonizes. This is the point I'm trying to make, Phil. It unnecessarily antagonizes a lot of Muslim people.
All right, I got to tell you, I think you're making some gross generalizations here, but let me just...
Well, Phil, I can explain...
Let me just give our phone number. It's 1-800-449-8686. Jay Sanis with the Citizens Auxiliary Police. They feel they have an enforcement issue that the yellow ribbons and American flags people are displaying may be making the Muslim community upset. You're asking people to take them down.
We are asking those of us in law enforcement. We have to understand, Phil, maybe get a little bit clearer picture than you folks in the media do. What we're trying to do is save lives, and all we need is another member of the Muslim community driving down your street or mine. Then they see one of these yellow ribbons, possibly tied for someone who's already dead, and the person doesn't know it yet. And what happens with a lot of the Muslims is they go wild. Something in the Arab brain goes wild when it sees American or this kind of deal.
All right, Mr. Sanis, there are millions of Arab Americans with nothing but love in their heart for this country. If you're talking about patriotism...
No, I'm not talking about Arab Americans. The genetics of Arab Americans have been pretty well strained out, but the immigrant Arab is who I'm talking about, and who are still just trying to get used to solid food and working toilets. These characters are potentially dangerous, and what we try to do generally is a level 1B on them.
And that is an enforcement code, correct?
That is an enforcement code, yes.
All right, 1-800, and I want to ask you about that in a minute, 1-800-449-8686. Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, which is a volunteer police agency, sir?
That is correct. And we have some 50 sub-commanders. We have Major Elvis Newton, who is the founder and commander of the unit. And we do patrols in the South Bay area primarily. But this problem is happening all over the country, and what we're trying to do is cut down on our part of town.
All right, well, what's happening is you're saying that the yellow ribbons are making Muslims angry to the point where they go wild, did you say?
Well, the Arab, what a lot of them are going to do is go wild on you. And you don't want to have a Muslim take off on you. The level 1B, Phil, what we do is we get officers out onto the street, and we try to interdict. And what that means is stop it before it happens. In communities interacting, we remove the yellow ribbons that we see. If they're near the street, if they are on private property, we contact the owner, we give them 30 minutes to get the ribbon down, or we cite them for potential incitement of foreign interference.
And all right, now we got a call from a lady, Marcia Croker. You know her?
I'm familiar with her. She's a chronic complainer. She's always got a problem.
Well, hold on, because the lady talked to my producer, Janice Ngaro. She owns a home in Hawthorne. She claims that you approached her son when he was tying a yellow ribbon for his father, John Croker, who's over there with the U.S. Navy?
That's what they're claiming, yeah.
Well, when you say that's a...
Well, I don't have any reason to doubt them, Phil, but the boy was tying a yellow ribbon.
And you ordered him to cut it down.
All right, hold on. The ribbon was technically on public property. City code says 3 foot from the curb is public egress and easement. Any defacement, which I know the boy was not trying to deface nothing, but you try to explain that to some of these Muslims, and they're all hopped up and sweating on you, and they hate the country and this kind of thing. You don't like it.
Well, what Mrs. Croker told me was that you said to this child, how do you know your dad is even alive? Did you say that?
Mr. Henry, well,
did you say that?
I was trying to remind the boy that it's pointless tying a yellow ribbon for someone what got shot.
And all right, she said that you said to the boy, how do you know your dad's alive? And the child was visibly upset, according to his mother, that you intimated to the kid that his dad might not be coming home. That's tough for a kid.
Mr. Henry, again, you don't need to tell me about a boy's love for his father, and I think I've got a little bit more experience with this than you. And I can tell you a little bit of a story here.
Well, no, wait a minute. Before you start telling me stories, the little boy was tying a yellow ribbon for his father.
My father volunteered as a scoutmaster in the Boy Scouts when I was a kid, and I know it isn't the military. But he would still leave, once a month or a couple times a year to these Boy Scout jamborees. I don't know if you're familiar with them. And I can tell you, I would wonder if I'd ever see him again.
Well, what's going to happen? He's a scoutmaster.
I understand that, but anything when you're dealing with adolescents can happen. A lot of these Boy Scouts are teenagers. They're away from their parents. Somebody says something to somebody. Someone pulls a knife. Kid doesn't see his father again. And that's what we're trying to say.
All right, 1-800, you're talking about your father getting stabbed at a Boy Scout jamboree.
No, my father did not get stabbed at a Boy Scout jamboree.
No, but you're saying there's a possibility.
I'm saying it's possible, yeah. And when he left, and I realize he's a scoutmaster, and it's not the same thing as the military, but he was wearing his uniform, and I'd look at him, and I'd wonder if he'd ever come back.
All right, but you're asking people to take down yellow ribbons not to piss off Arabs or Muslims.
That's correct.
1-800-449-8686. Here is Dawn. Hello, Dawn. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, ma'am.
I cannot believe that this guy is asking me to take my yellow ribbons down. I spent 20 years in the Marine Corps. My husband spent 20 years in the Marine Corps. My son is a Marine. I have two nephews that are Marines. And I tie a ribbon for every service person that I know that is over there trying to free Iraq now.
That's the problem you got, ma'am, because you don't know that all of them are still alive.
I do know that they're all still alive.
All right, so the ones that die, you take the ribbon down?
Certainly do, and I replace it with a POW or an MIA or a black ribbon. You have to do the right thing. If the Muslims don't like it, then I'm, you know what, I'm really sorry.
Have you seen any Arabs? Have you seen any Arabs in your neighborhood or...
Absolutely not. And you know what? The ones that I do see, you go into, you know, they're happy.
Yes.
They're happy that their families are being freed over there.
And the other thing is a lot of Arab Americans are...
I'm not talking about Arab Americans, Mr. Henry. I'm talking about Arabs that are immigrants here and also the Muslims. They'll go wild on you. I've got a lot of experience with them, ma'am. And when they see a flag or any of this kind of nonsense, they go wild.
Then you know what? They need to leave the country. Because this is America, and this is what it's all about.
Well,
we fly our red, white, and blue. We tie yellow ribbons for our service members that are overseas.
Well, that's what we do.
I'm
just telling you from a law enforcement standpoint, I don't know. They can do whatever they want to do. I guess they go back whatever they want to do, but I'm just trying to save lives.
Then you need, you know what, save their life. But in fact, you need to calm them down, and you need to arrest them and put them for their incitement.
What about
that? You don't take a yellow ribbon down. If a police officer came there... to my house and took my yellow ribbon down, he and I would go to court.
Well, and that's a good point, Jay. What about calming down whoever may be offended by these yellow ribbons?
Phil, there's a little thing that they got going on right now with a lot of the Arabs that, and you and the lady, I'm sure, have heard about it. It's a little deal called jihad. Now, what they do is they feel it's okay to go out and burn down your house, your carport, or whatever. I had a guy over here in Lumley, which is right over here to the oyster, where they do the oysters. He had his whole carport burned down.
Was that by a Muslim?
I don't know.
All right, listen, Don, thank you. 1-800, what do you mean you don't know? Then what? It's got nothing to do with anything. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary. We're talking with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. God give me strength. They are going around and telling people to remove yellow ribbons in the neighborhoods they patrol and American flags because it could potentially anger immigrant Arabs or Muslims who've already gotten their ass kicked and they don't want to be reminded of it. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Car dealers in our next life.
And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police on our show to talk about how yellow ribbons and American flags may prove more harmful than beneficial as they could anger Muslims who are angry at losing the war. We're talking about American Muslims, though. Wouldn't they be in support of America?
You would think so. So it's my experience, Citizens Auxiliary Police. And we did security at one of these dances that They had a Muslim deal over here. I forget where it was. But it was over the American Legion Hall. And they're dancing and singing and all the stuff that they do. But you'd be surprised, a lot of them are more loyal to this, these guys with a beard. I don't know what you call them.
You mean like a mullah?
Well, yeah, they're a religious leader than they are to their country. So we've got to be very careful about this. There's nothing that gives me and the other members of the Citizens Observe Police joy about tearing down yellow ribbons. But we know we could save an entire neighborhood from some of these Arabs who are hopped up, burning down their garage or going through their home and looking for personal effects.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Angela. Go ahead, Angela.
Yeah, I just want to say to him that the fact that he is a wannabe cop and the fact that he needs to be supporting our American flag and our yellow flags, obviously he needs to be arresting these people that are doing this. Because this is ridiculous. If they are a United States citizen and they are here in our country, they need to be adjusting to our flag. They need to, you know, it's not the fact that we should have to take it down to make them happy.
Well, ma'am, I don't know, but you don't want one of these Arabs all over you.
You know what? They shouldn't have a problem with it. Because
pulling
they need
a knife
to go
on you, taking advantage of you sexually or any of these
deals. You know what? I stand at 6'1", and I don't have a problem with them. But the fact is I have a cousin over there,
what
and I
mean,
have friends over there.
Sexually?
And believe me, my whole house has yellow flags all over it, and I have 3 American flags hanging in my front yard.
All right, ma'am.
You obviously have a problem with our American flag yourself.
I don't
so
have
where
a,
did
I,
you come
I,
from?
I come from the United States of America. I don't have a problem with flag. But what I'm saying is, you got flags all over your house and yellow ribbons. What happens if some hopped-up Arab comes swinging down the street, made a left turn, a wrong turn, is now swinging down your street and sees all those flags?
Then you know what? He needs to be arrested. He needs to be arrested for what he does.
I think you're making
some...
They
don't need to be here.
Well, what
and
about
the fact
this?
Is we shouldn't have to give up our freedom just to make them happy because they're here.
But then
and the fact is those yellow flags are for to bring our troops home dead or alive.
What do you mean hopped up? What does that mean?
All I'm saying is a lot of these Arabs get excited. That's all.
Well, you got to start making some distinctions because Arab Americans.
No, I said that the bad genes got strained out of them, but the immigrant.
And I don't know what you mean by bad genes got strained out of them. Fact is that, you know, there are all kinds of people in this country, and some of them may be Muslim.
Look, I got a problem with anybody, but I received complaint calls at Citizens Auxiliary Police Headquarters from people. Who are Arabs saying, yeah, this guy's got a yellow flag up over here on Dorsey, or got a yellow ribbon up here on Dorsey. What are you going to do about it? What am I supposed to do? Say nothing? Well, I'm going to go over there.
The cops should be taking care of these people that are having problems with our yellow flags, not you.
Ma'am, I'm a member of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. We are sworn to uphold the law.
Okay, if they were doing so much damage and stuff, they should be arrested. You have no right to arrest them, do you? You're going
ma'am,
after
if you
we have done nothing wrong.
If you have a yellow flag up, all I do is I gently remind you to take it down within 30 minutes.
And we don't have to take it down.
Well, then I will have to deal with that.
What does that mean?
We can take you to court and win.
What do you mean,
because
deal with it?
Because it's a piece of our property.
Well, I do have a right to citizen's arrest.
Well, wait a minute. This is on private property.
No, that's right. That's why I give them 30 minutes to get that yellow ribbon down, or we do take it to another level.
Well, then you can take it to another level, and we can take it right to court, and the judge would laugh you out of court.
Well, wait a minute, ma'am. I had one of these, Muslims stop me this morning, and he told me that ribbons are the same as graffiti. See, to the Muslims, they're an eyesore. Now, I'm sure
honey,
you wouldn't
I can write anything I want on my house, on my building, on anything. It's private property, and you can't do a
well,
thing to
me. Well, technically, you can't. For instance, you can't put a sign up in your lawn that says, you know, to say the F, that starts with F. And
We know the word you're talking about.
All right, you can't have that. And
honey,
put the yellow ribbon
but
up.
We're not, the yellow ribbon has nothing to do with that word.
See, if you put up F, by putting a yellow ribbon up, you might as well just be saying to a Muslim, F it. F you.
Well, you know what? Then they need to go home.
Well,
if they don't respect us, that yellow ribbon, do you understand what that yellow ribbon is?
Absolutely,
it is to bring
ma'am.
Our men home.
Absolutely, ma'am. But... Again, and that's the other problem. That's the other problem we got.
And who brought up that you have to take these down? Who told you?
Because I was looking at them, and I had a discussion with Major Elvis Newton. Every Saturday night, I go to Major Elvis Newton's house. We sit down. We review what's going on in the news. And he tells us that he will call us later, and we'll gather on the speakerphone, and then he tells us what he feels is important. And we were afraid that we'd get some Arabs up in arms over this whole yellow ribbon deal. You get yourself that jihad, now you got a problem.
Okay, well look, I have to jihad. Say, I live in Puyallup, Washington, and you know how many yellow ribbons are on every single tree, and we have not had one cop or wannabe cop come through our town and tell us to take them down.
Well, ma'am, here's the deal. You live in Washington State?
Yes, and Oregon.
They are known havens for liberals and a lot of these Arabs. Now, Major Elvis Newton put down his glass, quietly turned to me the other night and said, Jay, the ribbons got to come down.
Well, and all I have to say is the fact that the ribbons have to come down. You're also offending the Muslims that live here and want
right,
to be here
right.
because
and,
by why, how you're talking and
want to
them.
Yeah, and want to have the ribbons up.
Well, but I don't hear from them, do I? I hear from some guy that, he's got a, what do you want to call it, like a tablecloth wrapped on his head, and he's telling me this, and somebody else is telling me something else. I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
Well, look, I think it's bigoted.
It's
I think it's cruel.
We live in America for right. freedom of speech.
Thank you very much for your call, ma'am. 1-800-449-8686. What do you mean this jihad thing? Jihad is a term from the Quran about internal conquering one's internal failings. It's not about going.
I understand that, Phil, but most of the Arab and a lot of the Muslim Arab don't understand that. They think if they want to go out, they're going to do a jihad. Bill Flemminger, I know you know who he is. He lives over here in the Stuntman Tracks. Had the whole section of his home taken out the other day.
And are you by a Muslim?
I don't know that, but I'm just saying this is what we're dealing with.
Well, if his home wasn't taken out by a Muslim, what's it got to do with anything?
I was called on site. That's all I know right now.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. This man says the yellow ribbon's got to come down.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Did Taylor leave that bumper music? Did Taylor do that bumper music? I don't want that dumb bumper music. That sounds like I'm doing K-Love Hits at Night or something. The hell is that? Did you hear that? Play that again.
You know, baby, every time you and I are together...
That is horrible. I never want to hear that music again. Thank God, Mark, you didn't do that. Thanks a lot, Taylor, for that shot leaving for Dallas. That was the lamest ass stuff I ever heard in my life. All right, anyway, let me get Jay Sanis is back on the line here. Jay is with the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Now, Mr. Sanis, you are, and I understand you're Brigadier Admiral. Is that your rank?
That is correct, sir.
I'm sorry. All right, Admiral Sanis, you are driving right now through the neighborhoods, and you're doing a yellow ribbon patrol?
That is correct. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to get individuals... to understand that the best way to avert a terrorist attack is to not provoke a lot of the Arabs that may be here. So you take those yellow ribbons down, take down those American flags, and we can have some celebrations. One of the great things we suggest, you want to celebrate the war, you can rent out the VA hall or VFW hall or get a church hall and be in close and, you know, close the door so no one sees you, and you can have a great celebration.
All right, now, what are you going to be doing while you're cruising?
What we're doing, Phil, is we are... Here's one right here. Pull over here. I'm with Subcommander Peeling, and we are looking for yellow ribbons anywhere here in the South Bay area. Now, here's one right here. Hi, honey. You need to take that down. You need to take that down, yeah. That's a little girl, Phil.
Well, how old is she?
She's about 10. Now, you gotta take the yellow ribbon off the tree, right? Tell your mommy... No, I don't want to talk to your daddy or your mommy. Just tell them that Admiral Santa said that, yeah, take it down. See, this child is not doing what I'm telling her to do. We're going to have to exit the vehicle.
Jay, could you stay with me on this?
No, I'm with you. Subcommander Peeling's going to deal with it. Tell her to take the ribbon off. Let the officer take the ribbon off. Just get away. Get away from the tree and let him take it off. All right, so he's taking that ribbon down. Get a little heart. See, you never know what's going to happen in those situations. I can feel my heart racing a little bit. So we got the ribbon, and we are now moving on over into the... we're going to go down Rosecrans here.
How old was that little girl?
She is probably, how old you say? We'll do a report on it later, but she was probably about, I could say about 4 or 5.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let me go to Brian. Brian, go ahead.
Yes, this is Brian DeCote from San Antonio, ex-military, grew up in Fort Bragg, North Carolina.
Yes, sir.
I'm sort of appalled at exactly what's going on here. If you were to pull up in my front yard and tell my daughter, 4 or 5 years old, to take down a ribbon that stands that represents every fallen soldier, everybody who's not come back, and every soldier that is still fighting.
Roger.
I don't care if you were a cop. You're not man enough to take that off my tree. I'm not one that's resort to violence, okay? I'm really not. I'm a pretty logical person.
Well, sir,
You have no legal right in any way, shape, or form to tell me to take down my ribbon, my flag, in any way, shape, or form. If you do, I will laugh in your face send you on your way.
Sir,
you cannot arrest me.
You're a military man, and you put your neighborhood in such danger. I'm a little shocked.
In such danger? Excuse me.
Well,
I've listened to you for the past 30 minutes.
Go ahead, but can you hold on for a minute?
You need to get that ribbon down, sir, yeah. Get that ribbon down.
What are you doing, sir? Are you driving by and telling people to get ribbons off their trees?
When we see them, yeah.
Go ahead, Brian.
Am I still on here?
Yes, you are. Go ahead.
I've listened to you for the past 30 minutes. I'm telling you right now, if every Arab, not Arab, pronounce it right, if every Arab out there had something against the United States, even if every one of the United States had a problem, they would go into overtime, and it would take them the next 4 months to piss off every single person that has a flag, that has a little yellow ribbon tied to their house. If an Arab comes into my neighborhood and decides to mess with my house, that's perfectly fine. I am still going to be proud of what I represent and what I stand for, and I'm going to show that flag. And then it is your job, Mr. Police Officer, to make sure that those people are found, first off. Second off, that they are taken to justice, okay? All you're doing right now is making your job a hell of a lot easier in the future so you don't have to make, trips out to somebody's house because something happened. That's exactly what's going on. You have no spine in my eyes.
Can you get that ribbon down over there?
Are you listening to the caller, sir?
I am, sir, but I'm trying to hold on for just a minute.
He's trying to rape America right now, is what he's trying to do. He's trying to rape America of every right and freedom that we have.
Excuse me, sir. I think that's unfair. A little something happened, maybe you read in the newspaper, called the war in Iraq. Okay. Thank you. Yeah.
Were you ever in the military?
I worked security at Johnson Bottling Company.
No, okay, time out. I worked security for Allied Security for a little bit. I sell health and life insurance now. I'm a very simple man. Have you ever put your life on the line in another country like Bahrain, like Saudi Arabia, for your country?
I beg pardon, sir?
Have you ever put your life on the line in Bahrain, Saudi Arabia, Oman, United Arab Emirates, Korea? Have you ever put your life on the line over there every day to protect your right to tear down our freaking little yellow...
Sir, my father left every few months to go to these Boy Scout jamborees. He was a scout leader over here. I never knew if I'd see him again.
A Boy Scout jamboree? Didn't know if you'd ever see him again. I was a rifle range instructor at Boy Scout camp, Camp Daniel Boone, North Carolina. What's that got to do with the price of beef in Arizona?
Because you got a lot of adolescent boys. One of them pulls a knife. What are you going to do?
We've got kids in schools that pull out AK-47s and start capping people because they don't know how to deal with their frustrations, with their anger.
I think it's a little absurd to say your dad goes to a Boy Scout jamboree and he might get knifed. These are Boy Scouts.
All right, hold on.
It's nice because you're going to fall off.
Hold on for a minute.
Get that yellow ribbon down, or I swear to God, I'll come over and tear it off that tree.
See, a lot of these people are...
Well, see, now you're being abusive with a lot of those people.
No, sir. I told her, I went around the block.
Is it the same kid?
It's that 4-year-old kid.
Am I still in the air, sir?
Yes, you are, Brian. Go ahead.
Okay, time out. You're telling me you're going to get out and threaten. You are going to threaten a little girl. What, are you wrestling her to the ground now?
I gotta find out where this guy is, okay? I want to know where he is, Janice. What street did he say he was on?
Is he right now going out there and telling that girl to take down
that
ribbon and forcefully doing so?
I think so.
You think so? You know what? That man was a guy that got picked on way too much in high school, has never had any self-esteem, and now that he's in a position of authority in his eyes, he feels that he has the right to tell people what to do 24/7,
a four-year-old
kid, and to enforce it in any way possible.
I'm sorry, Phil.
To shoot when they get older.
I told the kid to take the ribbon down. I come around, and now she's back. She's got her mother with her now.
Huh? Okay, good. Now talk to the mother, because you didn't want to talk to the mom and dad before. Have a little bit of nuts and some spine and go talk to the parent.
Was it you talking to me?
Yeah.
Are you ready for this guy?
I'm with Citizens Auxiliary Policeman.
Citizens Auxiliary Policeman. Your daughter was trying to get a ribbon? Well, when your husband comes home, Right now he's not home, so you get that ribbon down.
You can't tell him to get the ribbon down.
All right, let's go.
All right, anyway, Brian, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. You went around the block.
Well, what happens, Phil, is a lot of times you'll tell them one time, and they think they got away with it. And we came around a rock, and I'll tell you, that situation, that's the kind of situation that gets any man in law enforcement, gets your heart racing a little bit, gets the adrenaline going. We're going to pull over here right now and do a report on that.
What do you mean a report?
Well, what we're going to do is, okay, that was a 7-6. I'm talking to Sub-Commander Jones, 7-6. The kid didn't do what you told her to do. So what we do, we'll do a report on it, Phil. We'll take it back to the substation, study it, analyze it. Go over it step by step.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let's go to Marianne. Go ahead, Marianne.
Hi, Bill. How are you doing?
Yes, ma'am.
This man has no right to make a citizen's arrest, nor does he have the right to walk up in these people's yards, hand them a citation, take a yellow ribbon down.
Well, wait a minute. Are you a lawyer?
You have no
right.
You have a right to make a citizen's arrest if a law has been broken and there are no laws against flying a flag. There are no laws against tying yellow ribbons. I'm curious why no one has called the cops on you for trespassing when you show up in their
yard. Well, ma'am, you're not a lawyer, so you don't know what you're... You're not a lawyer, so, thank you.
Okay, so what law is being broken, and who told you that this is okay?
It is an incitement to riot, and it is a disturbing
the peace.
No, the
only one inciting a riot is you.
No, it's disturbing
the
peace.
You are the only person.
How's it disturbing the peace?
Because the Arabs will get upset. You got a jihad. You want one all over you? Fine.
You
I don't want
no
one on
idea
my wife.
What jihad is. You have no idea what the Arab community is.
You want a jihad, but then you're living down.
You are the
I'm
only
sorry?
Person inciting a riot.
Ma'am, I'm not inciting anything. I'm saving
yes,
lives.
You are talking to minors when their parents have to be available. There's no 4-year-old in the middle of the yard tying a ribbon without their parent available. For you to speak to them.
I beg your pardon? I just saw a child tying a yellow ribbon.
Okay,
and I spoke
so
to
why
them.
Didn't you get out of your car, go speak to the parent, and address them?
Let me tell you something, ma'am. When you're in the front line of law enforcement,
what you're speaking about.
I took care of the situation. I take care of business, okay?
You take care of business.
That's right.
Okay, under whose authority?
Citizens Auxiliary Police is a organization that was formed by Major Elvis Newton in 1996.
Okay, but you're playing cops and robbers. You guys are dressing up with your little badge and your flashlight. And if you're even doing this, I'm beginning to think this is a joke.
No kidding. I think it's a joke, too.
All right, Mr. Henry, if you think the death of Americans in Iraq is a joke, if you think the death of people... If you think the death of...
Stay on the subject.
I'm staying on the subject. I think
you
the two of you...
You have no right to make a citizen's arrest.
Ma'am, I told the kid once. I told the kid once.
I shouldn't get that ribbon off.
I told the kid
you
once.
You have no right to do that.
Ma'am, you're not a lawyer, so don't bother me.
You have to be a lawyer.
Let me tell you something right now. If you were here right now...
I know that there are no laws against flying flags or tying yellow ribbons.
All right. Ma'am, there is a law against disturbing the peace. You're starting to disturb my peace. Well, you're bugging me.
You are the only person doing that.
Ma'am, if you don't shut your mouth...
You're going to do what?
I will sue you and your whole family.
Shut up.
I believe you're on a talk show to get feedback from the
public. No, but not to have you bother. Yeah, but you're starting to really irritate me.
Well, I'm so sorry about that. So are you going to excite me because I'm still talking?
No, because you're sounding stupid and you're not making sense. I happen to have the right under citizens' arrest power to have people, and they're disturbing the peace.
What you say that
get that ribbon off that tree right now. Get that ribbon off that tree. I'll come over there and make you wish you took it off.
All right, Corporal, pull over. We got a 14-19 happening.
A 14-19.
All right, now this is an old lady putting a flag on a ribbon on a public telephone pole. Here we go.
What are you doing?
I don't.
What are you doing? Get it off the pole.
All right, now, Jay, I got to ask you something.
Hold on, Phil.
Get it off the pole. You want some man to come down here and rape you in the middle of the street? Because they will. I've seen them do it.
I'm trying to put...
Some Arab will come down the street, hike that skirt up above your hips, get it off the pole.
See, you got to talk to a lot of these people. All right, let's go. So that's really what we do, Phil. We just go and try to conserve, you know, the peace of the community by making sure nobody goes out there and does these stupid things.
All right, let's go over here to Shannon. Shannon, go ahead. Or hold on a minute. Let's go to Butch. Butch, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Man, I tell you what, I don't know about you, fella. From what I'm listening, I mean, you're not
get
even a real
Wilson
guy. First off, I'm going to put a yellow ribbon on my tree, on my property, anytime I want to show my support for the troops.
Yeah, but what if
second of all, you will play hell pulling a ribbon off of my tree in my front yard. Second of all, you drive up to the front of my front yard and you start talking to one of my kids and I don't recognize the car, I'm calling the law and they're going to haul you away.
Well, all I'm doing is telling the kid to take... Wait a second. I can tell the kid to take the ribbon.
No, you ain't going to talk to my kids unless I recognize you or unless I'm there.
I'm a duly authorized...
Because there's too many people that drive up and snatch kids up.
I'm a duly authorized officer.
You know, you want to talk about trying to protect people, why don't you go out there and try to run the drug dealers off and try to do something like that.
All right.
Instead of trying to do something like...
I have.
They're taking away the support.
What makes you what makes you such an authorized cop?
We got our own theme music, for starters, and very few police agencies have their own theme music.
What do you
know? The thing is, what if you're sitting there talking about showing disrespect to these Arab Americans and stuff like that? You know what? If that sword will swing both ways. They need to show respect to us because we're wanting to show support for our troops.
I didn't get that. Can you say that again?
Whenever the laws of any state are broken, a duly authorized
Hello?
Organization...
Hello?
Get that off the tree.
Will you knock it off?
State troopers, militia, the Rangers...
Or the Citizens Auxiliary Police. See, that's what I'm talking about, Butch. We have...
No.
Huh?
...have enforced and preserved our state law.
Look, if you want a sweaty Arab bouncing on top of your wife, go ahead, put that ribbon up. Me? I don't think so.
No.
Not me, not Jay Santas. Citizens Auxiliary Police.
Will you shut up?
What did I do wrong?
What did you do wrong?
Yeah.
Quit talking to me through that speaker. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, making pot brownies. The Phil Henry Show is back.
I just want to say that it's funny what you uncover when you finally go after terrorists. I mean, when you literally, you just go after them instead of waiting behind the metal detector, right? Instead of hiding behind the metal detector. We got this guy, Abbas, today. They've been looking for this piece of garbage for 18 years. Well, longer. Funny, we go into Baghdad. Look who turns up. I want to say one more thing. Oh, by the way, that was me doing the voice of Jay Santos in the preceding bit. That's what we do in this show sometimes. And the people that called in, they really thought he was a real guy. Now, I want to say one more thing about this dissent stuff and what Timothy Robbins is complaining about. I don't know about anybody else. I got no problem with anybody being against the freaking war. I got no problem with it. And I got no problem with people talking about it. It hurts me because I know the troops hear about it and it bums them out. But I'm not going to tell you not to do it because it's bad for the security of the country. But I will appeal to people's logic. Sometimes, like when people were blocking traffic and taking the police away from the job of protecting the country, I said, you know what, it's not good for the country. But I'm not going to say you have no right to say what you're saying. I do have the right to have an opinion about it. If you got free speech, I got it too. And if you don't dig it, I got a right to say you're an idiot, and here's why. Now, you may not dig that, but you have no right to say that I'm... You know, putting a blanket over your expression of your free speech, that I'm somehow trying to stifle your opinion. And if I got a private organization or a private foundation like the Baseball Hall of Fame and I decide to uninvite your ass, hey, guess what, Charlie? I don't want to see your movie. I don't want you talking in my Hall of Fame. That's not stifling your freedom of speech. You want to know why? I ain't never been invited to the Hall of Fame to talk. Phil Henry's never been invited. Are they stifling my free speech? Hey, Hall of Fame, why don't you have me talk there? They don't want me there. You want to know why? Because they never freaking heard about me. So you think that's stifling my freedom of expression? Yeah. And I want an apology. Anyway, Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. I was kidding, in case anybody didn't get that whole thing.